Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth narrating another program for the Defensive Legion and the Christian Voters and Buyers League. The moment is at hand for every right-wing conservative group in this country to unite and combine our efforts to take back our country. Every left-wing socialist traitor politician in Washington is scared stiff. And every foot-kissing governor, mayor, state legislator, slave riding on the coattails of federal handouts now sees the handwriting on the wall. Political party has nothing to do with the fight in this country. There is only one issue. It is the determination of the Christian white man to remain forever free from the contamination and forced mongrelization with black African jungle niggers and their sponsors and fellow revolutionaries, brown race Asiatic hook-nosed Jews. We will either remain free men or we will perish as mulattoized slaves of these vile synagogues of Satan. Swap your mailing lists. Send out each other's literature. Unite, unite, unite as the Jew and the Negro, his brother, have done. Make this your motto. Better 10,000 civil fights than one civil rights if you want to live and die a free man. Get in touch with us and distribute these recordings. For the subject of this recording is just who did kill John F. Kennedy. Every left-wing socialist politician in America has been looking for a place to hide ever since the assassination of President Kennedy. Every Jew in America is walking around looking like somebody had thrown Christian hog fat into his matzah. The Wayne Morses, the Hubert Humphreys, the Jake Javitses, and the Manny Sellers have been caught with more than their pants down. They've been found stark naked in a nudist colony on the prairie with not a fence, not a building, or even a tree to hide behind. You see, they all followed the lead of their Russian partner Khrushchev in condemning us right-wing extremists as responsible for Mr. Kennedy's murder, only to find that Oswald was a left-wing Marxist. And their noses were further rubbed in it when Oswald's assassin Jack Ruby proved to be a mobster Jew whose real name is Jake Rubenstein. What a boomerang. Wow. You'd think from the proclamations of nearly every tinhorn mayor, state assemblyman, governor, congressman, and bureaucrat that they all came from the same source. They did. The first ones originated in the headquarters of American Jewism in New York City, relayed by the press associations they control and all three of our kosher Jew TV networks. It bears out the facts of history that anarchist Jews have been involved in the assassination of every American president and the attempted assassinations as well. Not a single Christian has thus far been involved in Mr. Kennedy's assassination. And yet you and me, the right-wing lunatics, have been branded as the hate mongers and the fascist peddlers of race, creed, and color venom. Governor Sanford of North Carolina, who supported Kennedy in the 1960 Democratic Convention and opposed Lyndon Johnson, let the cat out of the bag in his Thanksgiving Day proclamation. He said, quote, that hatred has become a device of politics in our country, and we must not let it do so, unquote. Those are the first words of truth that have been written about this whole cowardly killing, and that exonerates every right-winger. For finding a right-winger in an important political job is harder than trying to prove Martin Luther King is a direct descendant of Queen Cleopatra. And yet we have it on the honor and good name and integrity of that sterling publication, I mean sterling silver publication, the Wall Street Journal, owned by Dow Jones and Company, the Credit Bureau of the Money Changers. We have it on their sacred word that the three most powerful peddlers of hate filth in America today are the John Birch Society, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, and the Citizens' Councils, in that order. Well, boys and girls, if that's the kind of credit information Dow Jones puts out, don't trust a General Motors Corporation for more than $5, for you'll never get your money back. The Christian Voters and Buyers League now tells you, with tons of evidence to back it up, that the four greatest peddlers of hate filth in America today, all left-wing socialists, are 1, the Jewish Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, 2, the U.S. government, which includes the Congress, President, and Supreme Court, 3, those black-gowned, brainwashed buzzards, posing as priests, ministers, and rabbis of every organized religious denomination, and four, every left-wing socialist politician from tin horn judge to mayor to state assemblyman and to governor. The politicians and the preachers have sold their souls to the devil. They've betrayed our Christian God, our Christian country, and our Christian people for Jewish gold. Cut off that gold from 9/10 of all the preachers and they'll lay down their Bibles tomorrow morning. They are all evangelizers for a buck. We mean to ask a barrel of questions concerning Mr. Kennedy's assassination and point out many facts to bear out our statements. Lyndon Johnson, whom we suspect as a follower of Mr. Kennedy's socialist philosophies in more ways than one, has already pulled his first boner in the majority of the seven men he appointed to investigate Mr. Kennedy's murder. Will someone please tell us how Earl Warren of the Supreme Court can function as chairman of a court of inquiry into Mr. Kennedy's death, when any case connected with it might well come before that Supreme Court? Mr. Warren will then play the double role of the cop who went out and dug up the evidence, then ran back to the courthouse to sit as trial judge on the case. Now, won't that be cozy for some poor devil who expects to get justice after little Earl has brainwashed his fellow left-wing court members? And won't those two counsel on foreign relations banker subversives on this committee, John J. McCloy and Alan Dulles, make a fine pair of Hawkshaw detectives? They've already been branded the betrayers of half the world to Jew communism, which really killed Mr. Kennedy. And nitwit Congressman Hale Boggs of Louisiana, another lefty member, will make a splendid gumshoe. The first words our Jew communist press printed about him was his exclamation on hearing the news of Mr. Kennedy's death, "My God, the Birchites have killed the president." He, no doubt, will demand and recommend the electric chair for Robert Welch. We hold no brief for the John Birch Society. In fact, we don't like them. Their purpose is to lull the intelligentsia to sleep, and here in Atlanta, they are the prime movers on race integration and mongrelization. This reporter has no use for an outfit which pretends to fight communism and refuses to fight Jewism. That's a heck of a way to run a railroad. Now, my fellow hate mongers and right-wing lunatics, before we decide to blow our collective brains out for the part we're accused of playing in Mr. Kennedy's assassination, let us all answer a few questions honestly and impartially. Before playing Russian roulette with all chambers of the gun loaded and winding up with a hole in the head, let's assemble the evidence in this cowardly murder and see who should really be blamed. In view of his record as president, why any self-respecting Marxist or communist would want to kill Mr. Kennedy is beyond comprehension. It should have been a right-wing conservative who loves this republic and its glorious constitution, and we believe it was meant to show just that until the left-wing Marxist got caught, and then came the boomerang. It is our belief that Oswald was a perfect patsy for the whole setup. He was caught by the FBI only days before Mr. Kennedy's arrival distributing Castro literature in New Orleans. The FBI knew he was in Dallas, yet never put a single man to tail him as a source of danger. But let us first consider this Jack Ruby, born Jake Rubenstein, owner of two striptease joints, a man with a long police record. Any striptease joint that sells booze, and they all do, comes mighty close to selling also the babes who do the stripping, plus other babes who work in or frequent the joint. In every city, this calls for heavy police protection. Question: how many Dallas police officials are on the protection payroll of this Jake Rubenstein and his two sex parlors? Why did a Dallas police sergeant who helped to subdue Rubenstein after he had shot Oswald refuse to give out his name on TV after admitting he was known to all Dallas policemen? Did he think the brass upstairs might shield Ruby's identity? And why, after reporters had forced him to admit Jake Rubenstein had a long police record, was every cop afraid to mention that in a fight, Rubenstein had bitten off the ear of a policeman? Man, it takes heavy protection to cover up that kind of a thing and give the culprit freedom of police headquarters as well. When the police finally disclosed that the police basement was restricted to press reporters and radio TV broadcasters, why was Jake Rubenstein the sole exception to those orders? Is it because he had the fix-in with the top brass upstairs? Or better still, is it because the Dallas police wanted this man Oswald's mouth shut permanently? TV pictures exist showing Rubenstein walking directly toward Oswald, flanked by two policemen holding each of his arms. All the time Ruby jams a gun into Oswald's stomach and pulls the trigger, both of those cops never looked at Rubenstein. They looked straight ahead and above Rubenstein. Why? Did the Dallas police want Oswald dead for what he'd already revealed? Had Rubenstein been tipped off to come and get this guy before he sang in public to involve higher-ups in the Jew communist conspiracy which hired Oswald as a patsy? Or was it Rubenstein alone who wanted him dead for what he could say but hadn't yet said? With Rubenstein's coast-to-coast Jewish connections, it's hard to believe he was acting alone. And why has no person or group even suggested the removal or suspension of police and city officials in connection with this compounding of stupidities? Why, within 2 hours after the assassination, was another Jew bondsman from California shown on TV, pledging unlimited money both for bail bond and defense of Jake Sparky Rubenstein, well known to Jew gamblers and vice dealers in California? Isn't that mighty fast work? Not only to get unlimited money, but to have the TV network shift to California to pick up the broadcast? Thanks to Jake Rubenstein and the Dallas Police Department's stupidity, we will never know who killed President Kennedy. For Rubenstein himself is supposed to have an alibi, having been at the Dallas News at the time of the shooting. Or unless they discover someone else or frame someone in connection with the shooting. But this we do know, in spite of what traitor editors across the country write, like Ralph McGill and Eugene Patterson of the Atlanta Papers, or the FBI. Lee Oswald did not assassinate President Kennedy, and whoever believes he did is a fool, for a dead man can't defend himself, and he had no trial by jury, nor a chance to speak one word for his side of the case. Anybody who accepts the tripe of the Dallas Police Department inadequate and inefficient as it has proven to be will believe anything. There can be no question that this is a downright crooked police administration. We can discount 98% of the so-called airtight evidence as completely phony. And that stupid District Attorney Wade blatted out to the point of nausea that the case was closed, that Oswald was already in the electric chair before he even got a lawyer. That fellow should be forced out of office, for the case is wide open and has never been closed. The French and Italian newspapers have all revealed that the plot of killing Mr. Kennedy goes far deeper than small fry like Oswald or Rubenstein. Italians know very well that antiquated carbine rifle which supposedly did the killing, supposedly. They are unanimous that no expert can fire three shots with that rifle and a telescope sight in anywhere near 5 seconds, as claimed by the Dallas police and the FBI. As late as December 3rd, the Lombardi Courier from Milan, Italy, called in an expert on that particular gun who proved it can't be done in 15 seconds, and yet the film of the whole assassination and shooting with Governor Connally took less than that. Lee Oswald did not kill President Kennedy, and if he were there at that window, he was not alone. Was Jake Rubenstein there? And doesn't it bear out the testimony of several witnesses who heard the shots and saw two images at that window? Find that one out, Detective Earl Warren. Didn't a very intelligent entertainer who played his act at Jake Rubenstein's striptease joint say several times, and most emphatically on TV, that he saw and talked with Lee Oswald in Rubenstein's sex joint? There are just too many circumstances between these characters, Oswald and Rubenstein, for it to be pure coincidence, and nobody knows that better than the Dallas police and the FBI. Why did this Marxist Oswald name John Abt of New York City, the Communist Party lawyer, as his choice of counsel? And when he refused, Why did the American Civil Liberties Union, straight Jew banker owned and controlled, founded by Felix Frankfurter, rush its top mouthpiece to Dallas to defend Oswald? That Civil Liberties Union was founded by the Council on Foreign Relations and the Communist Party jointly. The notorious Communist fronter Dr. Harry Ward of Union Theological Seminary was also a founder, along with William Z. Foster, head of our Communist Party here, and Elizabeth Gurley Flynn. And since 1952, at least 8 Council on Foreign Relations members have headed up this treasonous outfit. Do you know who one of them is? Why, that polecat J. Robert Oppenheimer, who received the Enrico Fermi Award from Lyndon Johnson in our White House and a check for $50,000 just the other day. The nuclear vermin whose security card had been lifted and is still lifted. Another Civil Liberties Union head is Arthur Schlesinger Jr., who's been living in our White House under Kennedy and still under Lyndon Johnson. Both of these birds are members also of the 20th Century Tax Dodging Foundation in New York City, which is straight Jew. Another Civil Liberties Union head is the West Ralph McGill One Palmer Hoyt, publisher of the Denver Post. And still another is this character Norman Cousins of the Saturday Review. That man is a pal of the Jew Walt Rostoff. He belongs to Sane Nuclear Policy, the outfit which is disarming America, along with such bedfellows as Bertrand Russell, the British Communist, Walter Reuther, the American counterpart, and Martin Luther King. Need we go further? And the FBI is trying to claim that Oswald and Oswald alone pulled off this job? Nuts. With such powerful banker interests rushing Oswald an expensive, protective lawyer free of charge until they learned he was dead, it smells a little fishy, doesn't it? Detective John J. McCloy, international banker in New York, could answer this, but we'll lay you 8-5 he doesn't. Was it further coincidence that one Abraham Partusian, a Jew cloak and suitor in Dallas, was there at the exact spot where the bullets entered Mr. Kennedy's body with a color camera? He filmed the complete assassination as an amateur photographer and sold 15 seconds worth of film for a reported $40,000. It's also reported he gave $25,000 to the widow of the slain policeman Tippett. Well and good. But did the Jew Abe Partusian decide to make that donation at the time he sold the film, or later when the money for that film became, hot? Ladies and gentlemen, when you can go directly and link up the richest and most powerful group of subversives in the world, the Council on Foreign Relations, so declared by the American Legion of California with this assassination of Mr. Kennedy, the World Banker Gang, which owns and runs the United States and many other nations as well, when there is a direct connection between one of the most communistic tentacles of this Council on Foreign Relations, the American Civil Liberties Union, and Lee Oswald, then it insults the credibility of a child to ask people to believe that Oswald was a crackpot who acted alone. With these CFR members in government, we don't overlook the possibility of Mr. Kennedy's killing might have originated at a high echelon of our own government. And in this connection, we find it not unkind to make the following observation. On June 5, 1961, the Supreme Court ordered the Communist Party and all communists here to register with the Justice Department of the Attorney General to file a financial statement and list all of its members and officers with a heavy fine for not doing so. To our knowledge, Robert Kennedy has never carried out one step of this court order. Instead of gassing co-eds in Mississippi and sending troops all over the land to gain Negro votes, his brother might well be alive today if he had rounded up these traitors and enemies of America. But that would mean registering a few members of the Council on Foreign Relations, wouldn't it? And his own brother was a stooge member. These left-wing socialists have sown the wind and reaped the whirlwind. No less than 3 congressional leaders told this reporter it isn't over yet. Said one, I'm afraid there will be more of this. No right-wing conservative as a lover of the Constitution has ever written or peddled one paragraph of hate in his life. No right-winger has ever advocated or supported a single measure of law by bayonet or theft of any person's rights, either civil, religious, or political. No right-wing conservative has ever had anything but complete abhorrence for the thought of one-world government. It is the foul left-wing communist who has done all of these things. It is the foreign ideology of the international Jew which has financed and propagandized this hatred to promote revolution. Right-wing conservatives have protested this socialism for 30 years, and our job is just beginning. And yet they have the impudence to call us by the very name which applies to themselves alone, hate mongers. Think of it. Alien money mongers, foreign costermongers, calling true Americans hate mongers. Never in history was the sublime so falsely branded as the ridiculous. But one can expect no less from the sons of hell. Governor Sanford of North Carolina is right. Hatred is a device of politics, and right-wingers are not the politicians. But we're going to be, and without tearing down the pillars of the temple of this republic. Lyndon Johnson is already parroting the hate theme of these politicians, said he. Let us turn away from the apostles of bitterness and bigotry, for those defiant of law and those who pour venom into the nation's bloodstream. Are not the greatest apostles of bitterness and bigotry your left-wing socialist politicians and the anti-Christian Jews? Is not the person most defiant of law, constitutional law in this land, the Attorney General Robert Kennedy? Are not those who pour venom into our nation's bloodstream the insane left-wing congressmen who would tear private property rights under so-called civil rights away from us and all of our substance guaranteed by the Constitution and done for the sake of minority black votes to remain in power? Mr. President, we repeat what we have often said before. The Constitution of the United States, as written and as constitutionally amended, is the supreme law of this republic. Neither you and your bureaucrats, nor the Congress, nor the Supreme Court, and the appointed stooges in the federal courts have any existence outside that Constitution. Anyone at all of you who attempts to legislate or enforce or judicially rule by distortion of that document and contrary to its plain English language is a bad American. Any and all who do so are spreaders of venom and hatred to divide our citizenry and destroy this nation. We will fight to preserve the heritage of our forefathers. We will gladly die to protect every officer of government who adheres to that constitutional right of free men and women. But the American people very soon now will gladly kill those one-world aliens whose allegiance is to any other power than America. In closing, there's always a laugh, even in the midst of sorrow and tragedy. Jake Rubenstein's lawyer, mouthpiece of the man who strips down women for a living, gave out a marvelous excuse for Ruby's assassination of Oswald. Said he did it because he loves presidents. Forgive us a personal observation. This reporter hasn't seen a president he loved or even admired since Cal Coolidge. Perhaps he was the last honest man to walk into the White House. And since the political crooks and the Jew communists want us to commit mass suicide and give up fighting them anymore, maybe we'd better ask a nice independent preacher like Carl McIntyre or that latest wayward son, Dr. Jim Dees, a former Episcopalian of Statesville, North Carolina, to come and help make our last hours more comforting. But then again, it might be more logical to turn the gun on the real burglars of our own liberties. Let's think that one over a while. This is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.